WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
Wrestling has more than one royal family.
Sunday night, you know what I mean? It's time for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio, wildtalkradio.com, twitch.tv/WTR live chat. If you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account, it's called Prime Gaming Support Channel by clicking the purple rectangle below the screen. You can use credit card Rocket Sock in the Fortnite item shop when you buy Snoop Dogg, your brand new Battle Pass, a new M&M eventually, and more. It's hashtag Epic Partner. I'm the producer, joined as always by the intern. I was joined by always as the intern.
Sorry, was coughing. My bad.
It's still a thing. It's
still a thing.
It's still a thing. That's okay. We have the one and only Tim Stein.
Yeah, that'd be me. We're here and we're prepared to answer the question just how many royal families are in professional wrestling?
Seven.
Good. Because there's more than one. So, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, streaming on Twitch TV, twitch.tv/WTR Live. Come and join us in the chat room. We'll chat back to you. You'll even get a chance to say hello to the lovely Lindsay Ward, just like I'm about to. Hi, Lindsay. She, of course, is the host of The Rack Thursday nights, 10 o'clock Eastern, right here on the same network and Twitch channel. But we're here tonight to talk about Crown Jewels.
We are here to talk about Crown Jewel that took place yesterday in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia on the Peacocks of the WWE Network. We crowned two new, for the first time, Crown Jewel champions on the show. And Tim, you're buzzing and just feedback and all the things. So there's that. But yeah, so we had two big matches. We started with the Bloodline taking on the OGs, Brent.
Yeah. The funny thing is some, I would say some people were really surprised this opened the show. I mean, you kind of knew what was going to end the show.
Yeah.
So it also doesn't surprise some, but it's still one of those things of like, huh, Roman coming out first now. Okay.
It's the Brock strap.
It is. The one thing I really did like, though, about what happened was the introductions. So you started off with Roman and Jimmy coming out together. and then Jay got his own entrance. So it's showing a little bit of, not dissension, but, you know, the fact of, like, Jimmy's kind of his own guy. And yep. WWE still sees him as a big deal. And I liked that they kind of broke that up, that it wasn't just like, okay, they had that reconciliation moment on, like, Monday and then Friday on the tape show, and then it's like, okay, now they're all going to come out together. It's like, no, there's still some stuff there, and you saw that throughout the match as well. It was a really good piece of storytelling.
Where Jimmy or Jay decided to get Jimmy instead of Roman and to kind of show who's the boss.
Well, it's not just to show who's boss, but it's almost that kind of like, I'm testing you, Roman, to see how you act.
Yeah.
And it was the same thing with Cody and Roman when they tagged. It's this idea of, like, I'm not going to fully trust you, and Roman has to earn the trust back of everyone because he's been, you know, ruling WWE, in a sense, for the past 4 years. He's had an iron fist, and it's one of those things of, he's wronged Jimmy before. He's wronged Jay notably. And so it's this, like, reconciliation tour of, like, look, I want to be back. You know, like, I want the Ula Fala, but it's kind of like Jay is reminding him, like, if you get that, I don't want it to go back to the way it was before. Things have changed.
Yeah.
And it's that, like, oh, like, Roman has to earn back trust from everybody.
It's like they got to be equals, Tim.
Yeah. All part of what they're playing into with this part of the storyline, of course, naturally. It works.
Yeah, it works. But in the end, the Bloodline would pick up the win. But I think the big story coming out of it is what happened.
I liked also that they had the moments with, like, Roman and Solo. And the fact of, like you said, the Bloodline came out on top, and Solo got the win on Roman.
Yeah.
Which is a really big deal here, because you have to elevate Solo to the level of, like, yeah, he is a competing chief. It's not just, you know, okay, Roman wins, lol, or, like, okay, he gets the win over Jimmy, because it's like, what does that really prove? The fact he got the pin on Roman, it's like, it should be one of those moments like, oh, shit. Like, Solo's legit.
So someone did a comparison video on Twitter from last Crown Jewel to this Crown Jewel, and the finish was the same way by Solo, with the couple of Samoan spikes to John Cena, and now Roman. Those are two huge wins.
Yeah. And remember, we've seen Solo kind of built up, and when he was the enforcer, it's like he was putting some people down. But I think in our head, it was the whole idea of, like, yeah, but he was second to Roman the whole time. And, you know, he still needed to kind of elevate himself. Mm-hmm. And as you said, now when you start to look at this, it's like, okay, yeah, he's picked up wins on Cena. He's picked up wins on Roman. He's battled people like Kevin Owens and Randy Orton. That's a pretty good run.
It is. It really is. But, yeah. Afterwards, Tim, we had some more Bloodline drama. Okay, so what happened was we had some more beatdowns on Roman and the Usos until Sami Zayn made the save, and it was a, but what side is he on moment? Was he going to sway back towards Solo? Because Solo was like, you know, we're cool, and then not so much.
Well, and I like that you kind of, a lot of people have played up the whole thing on social media over the past week when Sammy has been talking to Solo, and there's been stuff kind of hanging out there. I really like that it's like Solo always stood up for Sammy. He didn't say a lot, but it was like he was always kind of there. And if you remember, Jay was never really cool with Sammy until after the Bloodline, and then it's like they smooth things over. But it was really great how Sammy did the moment where he made his decision.
Yeah.
Because there was that, like, all right, I'm going to hug you to Solo, and Solo's walking over with that big old grin, And as soon as he gets his arms around Sammy, Sammy hits that exploder. And we'll say this throughout this event, that crowd ate that moment up. Like, they popped.
Yeah.
When Sammy suplexed him.
And then all four surrounded Solo, and then an accidental haluva, I guess, or kick, or whatever you want to call it.
Right to the side of Roman's face. Oops!
Right, yep, right to Roman Reigns' face. Jimmy and was then pissed.
Jimmy came over to Sammy, was not happy. Jay came over and stood up for Sammy, which is showing you how everything has kind of come full circle. But I like that they're sowing the seeds of the dissension on the OG bloodline going into what we all assume is going to be War Games.
Yeah, and they're keeping it, like, they're not saying, oh, the past is the past, and now they're just friends and all back, all, you know, sunshine and rainbows. It's not. There's history. They have to get over the history.
Right, and there's even just new stuff that's coming about, too. Because, as you said, there's history that you have to overcome. There's distrust that's all there. But you have this unified group on the other side that have all been brought together under one person. And so now you've got to be like, okay, we all have to get our ducks in the row. And maybe that's where we see the return of one other person to be the voice of reason. To be a wise man, per se.
I don't know, it seemed like Sammy forgot all about that, seeing as he showed up. Tomorrow night on Raw, we get Sammy's explanation. And it leans towards probably why he came out to save one person. Not them all. Because if you look at who he came, when he came out, when who someone was in danger.
Yeah, it wasn't, the person it was not, in the corner with the chair on his neck.
Yeah. It wasn't the OTC. Someone else.
Yeet.
Yeah. So that's kind of where that bond will always lie.
But I like that they're nuancing this a bit. It's not just, as you said, we're all putting everything aside. We're all going to fight for Roman to get his Ulafala back. Lol. It's, yeah, Jim or Jay is sitting out there going, I don't trust you, and the second you step out of line, I'm out. Sammy's coming out to help Jay because Jay has gone through hell, and yet he's proven himself afterwards.
You know, the way they're playing it going into War Games from here is Jay finally going to start rowing on the same side of the boat as Jimmy and Roman, and how can we trust Sammy?
Those are things we'll have to wait and see.
So there's that for that.
There for is. That. All right, up next, it was the Fatal 4-Way Tag Team Match for the WWE Women's Tag Team Titles. You had the champs Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill defending against Damage Control, Metaphor, Chelsea, and Piper Niven.
Didn't I predict that this would wind up being a cluster last week?
You did, and it wasn't.
Not the cluster I was expecting.
Mm-hmm.
No. It was a little more coherent and cohesive. Still at that same time, when you get four vastly different tag teams, you're going to have a hiccup or two. They had a hiccup or two. It was expected. Really, really good showing, of course, but Damage Control.
He was on another level right now.
Absolutely. Of course, I've always liked Io Sky and Kairi Sane as women pro wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been impressed by their style. And, well, of course, you know, that style is one that I'm very used to. But, I can't complain about the match. It was entertaining and enjoyable.
I know I said this last week, and I shouldn't enjoy it as much as I do, but Chelsea fucking Green is an MVP of the women's division.
Chelsea Green!
Her spot in the corner when she was going to, like, I think it was, I can't remember who was out there with Piper, but she was going to do something like off the second rope. And it was like, no, I can't do this. So she got to the first rope. No, can't do this. So then she just turned around from the apron and did just like a simple cross body block that ended up into Piper's arms. She does the little things comedically that are so fucking entertaining. And again, part of me is like, I shouldn't laugh at this. It shouldn't be this entertaining. It's Chelsea Green. But at the same time, it's like, no, but Chelsea just owns the shit out of this and makes it entertaining. And then, of course, we saw Damage Control with their double top rope spot, which looked just gorgeous. And then Metaphor breaking out some really interesting offense.
Yeah. They show off some power.
When Lash is 6 foot and can put Jakara on her shoulders, it's kind of an interesting little like, oh, okay. It reminds me of, what was it? I think Braun and Ricochet would do something like that. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, I'm going to have you stand on my shoulders and use me as your platform and go.
Yeah, Lash and Jade are headed for a showdown.
Oh, Lash and Jade can head for the showdown and Jade will own her ass. Lash will be, you know, competitive enough, but
she'll look good losing.
she Jade is on the different level. I think we all acknowledge that, just between power and athleticism. Now, don't get me wrong, Lash is athletic, but I think she, as much as we say sometimes like Jade needs a little bit of work, I think Lash needs work a little more. But I mean, this match, this foursome that we saw, this foursome of teams, was entertaining. It did what it was supposed to for this show, which was feature Jade and Bianca. You had Io and Kairi doing, you know, their high spots and the crowd just adoring them. You got Lash and Jakara work and to feature them a bit, and then Chelsea and Piper to kind of round it out. And they all did their roles really well.
Indeed, and the champs ended up retaining.
Which no one was really surprised about.
No one was champs really surprised. Keep champing.
They
only the Wheel of Fun picked different in that match.
Of course. Up next, it was Seth Rollins and Bronson Reed.
Oh.
Damn.
Remember last week, we talked about Bronson is being built like a freaking monster.
How long was the fight before the bell even rang?
Oh, yeah. And the match, I think, is summed up by one moment, which is, aside from that quick spot where we thought, you know, oh, Bronson's going for the tsunami very early. Like, they're not going to end it like this, are they? This quick? I liked the moment when Bronson is beating Seth and he's just screaming at him to stay down and don't, you know, like, I've beaten the hell out of you. What's the point? And Seth just looks up at him and screams, you should have finished me when you had the chance. And I think it's brilliant because you had Bronson being built, again, as this unstoppable monster, this guy who's just going to relentlessly beat the hell out of you. And yet Seth is the resilient one who's like, no, you keep throwing stuff at me and I will get back up.
The one thing I did appreciate was the announced team selling it as Bronson was getting like schooled. He was learning what it takes to be on that next level. And Seth was taking him to school.
Yeah. It's not just about, you know, being powerful. It's as you were saying, recognizing like these are the moments where you need to just put your foot on the throat. And Seth taught him that moment very, very quickly. But at the same time, by the end of the match, by the time, you know, you hit fade to black on there, I think everyone looks at Bronson Reed and goes, holy shit.
No.
No?
No. He lost. Like
after taking that super curb stomp, but he got back up.
That's fine. He can get back up, but he did not get the win.
Didn't hurt him. This match did not hurt Bronson one bit by losing.
No, it does, because he's now lost two big... He's been on this climb. to prove he belongs in the main event, and he's lost two big main events. He lost to Braun Strowman.
Braun.
And now
with the help of Seth.
With the help of Seth, but he still lost this match. But he lost this matchup clean. He's now all talk, not bark.
No, there's another match coming between these two.
Seth has already beat the monster. Cool, he beats him. Bronson wins the second one. That's great and all. He should have won the first. It would have set more of a point to win the first.
I see where you're going with this, and also I think it could be a problem because one of the things they're setting up, in my opinion, is like Tim said, and like I was alluding to, the fact Bronson got up right afterwards. Like, Seth beat the shit out of him, and Bronson got up after the pin, and it's like, oh shit. The only problem is he just did a last man standing, essentially.
Yeah.
With Bronson. Which is where this would conceivably go, is like, okay, the next thing would be, can Seth keep him down for 10?
But it does, him keeping him down to 10, he still lost the match. And that, if your wins and losses supposed to matter, the monster losing big two matches two in a row, it's kind of like, okay, he can talk a game, but he fell short.
I understand.
The win would have made Bronson. The loss doesn't make him.
Never said that it made him. I said it didn't hurt him. The next match, Bronson's going to win it. That makes him.
No, the first, like, that's the thing. The first match should be the one that makes him. Because now you're 50-50. It's not making him. Okay, he beat him the second time. Cool, great.
What if you know how these things go? It's a best of three.
Or best of seven in some cases. But best of three doesn't. The first one
is technically best of eight, like we saw later tonight.
But the first one in people's eyes should matter the most. And the heel already lost.
Mm-hmm.
They had a chance because him going out there, six tsunamis the first time, taking him out, injuring him. Seth got his revenge, costing him a match. Bronson should have won it. But, you know, that's just me.
Yeah, that's just you.
Either way, we move on. Up next, the first ever Women's Crown Jewel Championship is on the line. Liv Morgan takes on Nia Jax.
So it was interesting to me that they changed the whole thing about the Crown Jewel title.
What did they change?
Well, I mean, I think it was announced Friday, but it was the whole, like, okay, technically, you don't get the belt. The belt's going to stay at Saudi, and then you get a championship ring instead.
I assumed that was the case the entire time.
I mean, I figured you weren't probably going, like, I figured the belt was going to stay in Saudi no matter what, which we all kind of, but I thought there could be, like, you know, okay, we'll get you, like, a replica.
No,
to put on your, you know, stand, like we've seen with The Miz and Cena and others that have at their house.
Which they probably will have a replica, but they got the ring, a fancy ring.
It's a Super Bowl ring.
Well, they had a pretty good solid match.
Yeah. It's always hard for me when I look at someone like Liv Morgan taking on Nia Jax. And I think I mentioned this when this match was set up, where I kind of was like, I didn't anticipate this was going to be the match going into Crown Jewel. And then it became the match in Crown Jewel. And it's like, oh, okay. And we saw kind of Liv's resourcefulness, or her use of her resources is the best way I could put it.
Yes.
Utilization of her resources.
And unfortunately, Nia's resource, not as dependable. She looked cute as hell.
But, you go for that sort of thing.
But didn't really help her out the way that Nia probably needed in that moment.
Oh, and she came out, I'm thinking, damn it, Brent predicted a cash in.
She came out and I was like, oh, let this happen. This would be hilarious.
Yeah. All she did, she succeeded in only pissing off Nia.
Well, not just pissing her off, but distracting her. Because what happened with her and Raquel and Dom and all of them took Nia's eyes off the ball and allowed Liv to be able to capitalize.
Yeah, it was the perfect distraction.
Yeah.
I picked Nia to win this one, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
You and Casey picked Nia, and I picked Tiffany. And none of us got that right.
So that's a rarity where we're all wrong on a pick.
Well, I took a stab in the dark.
Same person.
But the celebration for, you know, that big moment for the crowd, and then you could tell, like, Liv was happy.
Mm-hmm.
And sure. And she gets her accolade, and as of tomorrow, she gets a new number one challenger.
Indeed. All right, up next, it was going to be Kevin Owens and Randy Orton, but it never actually happened.
No, this was not a good night for our GMs and setting up this match.
Yeah, what does this lead to in the future? A Hell in a Cell or a street match, street fight?
Not a Hell in a Cell. We just did Hell in a Cell.
We're gonna get Raw Underground.
I figure it'd be a street fight.
Come on, Raw Underground. Let's do it.
No.
But they went all over that arena.
For a match not happening, it was very entertaining. And they did a damn good job with it.
I hope Adam Pearce gets some hazard pay.
He might kind of deserve it. Yeah, what was that, like a 15-minute mutual beatdown?
He took an RKO like a champ.
He actually took it properly, too.
Yeah. Well, the one thing I liked was he took that move, and then the whole rest of the time, I'm like, when is Kevin going to give the stunner to Nick? But Nick was smart. Happened. He stayed away. He was just perturbed in general that no one was listening.
And if Randy's going to attack a general manager, you attack the one that you don't work for.
Yeah.
So that feud will continue on.
Yeah. And like I said, it was fun for not getting an actual proper match. So I like what they did here. All they did was sell the animosity and the anger.
Well, and we've seen these two acting as friends for the past couple of months. So it's nice to be able to see, like, the disillusion of that. That it's not just like, okay, one punch hit and now they're bitter enemies. It's like, no, you're starting to see Kevin attacking Randy. And so it's starting to be more of this kind of like, okay, this is more earned. This is what, you know, we want to see, is like it build from this and not just, okay, Randy tried to hit Kevin, Kevin jumped him, and now they're going to Hell in a Cell. It's like, no, it needs to earn where they want to be bitter enemies.
Indeed. The United States Championship is on the line. L.A. Knight, Andrade, and Carmelo Hayes.
This match was short, but it was good.
It was...
These three came to work.
It was what they expected it to be, Brent.
One of you can talk now.
Yeah, no, I was just saying it's what I expected it to be.
Yeah.
I mean, you were saying that it was a short match, which it was. I didn't expect something long and drawn out with this.
Well, I wasn't expecting like 20 minutes, but I thought, you know, you could give them an extra 3 or 4. It was only 9 minutes long. So that's where I think it's kind of like, that felt short.
But it also didn't overstay its welcome.
Right. I was going to say, you didn't have a lot of like rest. You didn't have a lot of like people killing time on the outside. It was like, you had a lot of stuff happening within those 9 minutes to keep you entertained and engaged. And the flow between the three people were really good. It was just one of those things, like, if they gave this another 2 or 3 minutes, it's kind of like, that I think could have been still just on the cusp of like, okay, maybe we didn't need more after that. But it's like, I think it could have been helped with another like 2 or 3 minutes of just letting them kind of work a bit more.
No, they didn't need it. It's fine for what it was. It was, you know, the lead up to the main event.
It was the lead up to the main event, but LA Knight is still your United States champion. We'll see who is next. We'll see who his next challenger may be. I don't think there's anyone quite lined up, but we'll probably get one.
Logan Paul. Oh, no, I'm kidding. No.
I mean, I don't know.
Didn't he say he was going to go like on a 2-year paternity?
Is that what he said? 2 year what?
I thought there was talk that he was going to like go on paternity leave in possibly 2 years. But right. It's Logan Paul. He could be back next month.
He could be back. I mean, there's something called Netflix that's coming, so you may wait till then to see Logan Paul again.
Yeah, just wait till January.
Just call it a hunch. And then it is your main event for the men's WWE Crown Jewel Championship. Cody Rhodes. Gunther.
And this was a very, very good, very entertaining match.
Again, they've done something in this match which I really liked, which was set up psychology with it. So it's not just a good match, but Gunther planted the seed that he was going to win with the sleeper. And he put Cody in it a few times. But ultimately, it's what led to his downfall because it was scouted well.
Well, sometimes when you telegraph something...
But the one thing I like about that is it shows Cody is not just, you know, your stereotypical white meat baby face, because we've seen in moments like that, they're stupid. We saw it with Cena, where it's like, you know something's going to happen. You know it's going to be like right there in front of you, and he falls for it. And in this case, it was Gunther told you exactly what he was going to do. And so Cody, being a smart guy, is like, okay, I better have a counter for this. I better be prepared. And ultimately, he was. But at the same time, it's one of those things of, okay, it's a chess match. That was that move. What's the next move after? What happens the next time these two meet? Does Gunther learn from that and decide, I said I was going to put you down with this. Maybe not. Or maybe I soften you up a bit more before I try it.
Now, was it what we were hoping for based on the little taste we got between the two of them at Royal Rumble?
No. It was missing something. It needed higher stakes. Crown Jewel Championship is one thing. You need a bigger stage and a bigger like championship on the line. To really...
Someone actually winning the world title. Not... Yeah.
You needed that.
Winning the Rumble or something like that.
Yeah, you need a higher stake. And I think... Go ahead.
I was just going to say no offense to Saudi Arabia and the Crown Jewel title.
Yeah, no offense, but it wasn't that big of a stage and the big moment where like you put them in the main event of SummerSlam for the WWE or the World Heavyweight title. You put them at the main event of WrestleMania or Royal Rumble where the title is on the line. And someone had something to lose. Someone had something to gain, but no one had anything to lose. And I think someone has something to lose, especially with two caliber athletes like them, it would have made more of an impact.
Yeah, Gunther losing here, and I think we talked about this last week, this idea of Gunther can lose here. He's still the world champion, so he's still going to go back to Raw and beat the guy. Now, he just doesn't have a shiny ring to show that he is, quote, best of the best for this year, but he's still accruing time on the world championship, which is what he's done with every belt he held, and they brought that up on the pre-show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Cody gets another accolade for being the quarterback, cool, but as we talked about, it's like he needs that next competitor. It's like you got your moment, you got... The celebration in Saudi, but it's almost like, okay, now back to the real story.
So, there you go. Cody wins the title. Big celebration had by all.
Adrenaline is in his soul.
It is. All right, Brent, a little bit of housekeeping?
All right, housekeeping. So we had 13 total entries for our Pick'em contest. In 13th place, going 2-4, because our 7th match was a no contest. It didn't even start, thanks to Kevin taking out the referee. Was the 8 ball going 2-4. Next up, we had in 9th place, going 3-3, Lindsay, Rock, Tim, and the Wheel of Fun. So So y'all went 500. In eighth place.
Two right.
You what?
I was sure I was only going to get two right.
Eh. No, you got three. In eighth place, going 4-1, because they did not pick one of the matches that actually happened, was Chris P.
Okay.
In fourth place, going 4-2, was myself, Sarah, Sheila, and Sub.
Nice.
So, one I and three S's. And then in first place, going 5-1, we have Keishi, Tommy C., and our godfather of extreme, Rob Parks.
Nice.
Cool.
I don't know if that's a good or bad thing that Rob finished first.
So there you go. That was our show. That was good. Good PLE.
It was entertaining.
Yeah.
But it did what it was supposed to, and it's going to roll us on into the next one, which is SummerSlam at the end of the month. Or, I'm sorry, Survivor Series at the end of the month.
Yes.
It's a double S. I knew it was one of them.
It was indeed one of them. But that'll do it for WTR tonight. Russell Talk Radio live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Eastern. It's a Raw Post Show. Thursday, it's Iraq live, 10 p.m. Eastern. Lizzie will give her a review of WWE Crown Jewel. If Brent's controller comes in, we'll be live with GM Metals this Friday night. If not, we'll figure something out for Saturday. Maybe we'll do a game night on Saturday, followed by CB Radio live at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. And we'll be back next Sunday for another edition of WTR Sunday Russell Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. It's at WTR Sunday on Facebook and Twitter. Tim has social media.
Yeah, you could actually find me at Flames Forums on Twitter, X Twitter, whatever you want to call it this week or month or whatever. But find me there, and when you do that, click on my profile and my pinned tweet and click on the petition. Please sign the petition that I've got up there. We're working on getting noticed by the National Hockey League. The petition is to retire the number 13 league-wide in honor of Johnny Gaudreau. So please check it out.
There you go, right?
Well, my socials, which I can type on more than I can talk, apparently. You can find me on X/Twitter/Instagram/Threads/Blue Sky at either Kane Kittens or Kane.Kittens.
In the chat, reminder, if you have Amazon Prime Link, it's your account's called Prime Gaming Support Channel. By clicking the purple rectangle button below the screen, you can also use credit code Rocket Talk at the 49% by the new Battle Pass, Snoop Dogg, Eminem, and beyond, because hashtag Epic Partner. Send us home, Tim.
So that's it, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We'll catch you next Sunday night. Stay tuned throughout the week to social medias and the website and Twitch to keep up to date on anything that might break or get posted or recorded on. That being said, you can't stay here. You don't have to go home. But whatever you do, enjoy your week doing it.
WildTalkRadio.com.